A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we are talking about some Disney reboots and some Gremlin reboots. We have all the boots. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm. Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hi. Welcome. Welcome to the show. Just another show like any other at the end of a long holiday weekend where technology is out to get us and Brandon has questionable fashion choices.
Yeah, yeah.
My name is Travis. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, everybody. I am Brandon and welcome to the podcast. Yeah, you know, I've got my fishing long sleeve shirt. Which is what I'm wearing.
It looks a little too close to a rash guard. Like, it looks like if you were trying to find an item of clothing in your house that could pass as a rash guard, that's the shirt I would grab.
Oh, okay, all right, yeah, I'm good with that. Yeah, I mean it's got SPF. You know, it's got the old good old SPFs. That's, and I went running earlier, right? And so that's a big part of it. That's a big
makes
part
sense.
Of it.
Makes sense. Better than me. I haven't run since Thursday. So,
oh,
there you go.
Look at you. Good on you. Good on you.
But I ran a mile and a half in under 11 minutes.
I did not do that. I've not done that, and I never will do that.
I did it last week. Okay. Welcome to the show. If you're new here, there are lots of ways that you can keep up with us. You can follow us on Twitter at Apathusiast. I'm at Jacomino. He is at Barnyard Cruise. We're on Facebook. You can email us apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. Instagram, we're posting some reels. Are we posting reels or are we just posting posts of videos? I don't know.
I don't know.
I think if you post them as reels, then I can share them better on my stories. This is how we figure stuff out while I'm doing the housekeeping for the podcast. Anyway, apathetic underscore enthusiasm over on Instagram. Go to our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com. You can find everything we do podcast related. Streaming live on a national holiday at twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. Thanks to everybody who had the free time in their schedule to hang out on stream tonight. If you can't catch the stream, but you still want to see some video, you can go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm, catch all of our podcasts over there. Finally, the MVPs at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Thanks to all of you. If you want to be a patron, drop some money in the tip jar, get some additional perks. We love our patrons. Thanks for being there. Brandon.
Yeah.
I've given you some time to collect yourself to... How was your weekend? How are you doing? I know you got some big runs in now that you're the big runner and I'm just a schlub. How are things? How are you feeling?
F man, you know, like right now I'm not doing too good because I know why I'm having internet issues right as we speak, which is my laptop is connected to the wrong Eero. It's connected to the Eero on the other side of the house, not the one that is like 5 feet away. And so
isn't this always the way? Isn't this always the way with
it is always the way
internet connections.
So now what we have is me thinking the entire time, being distracted, being like, eventually I'm going to cut out and Travis can be like, what? Oh, hey, everybody, Brandon is frozen again, which I know is what's going to happen next, you know?
So here's an option is I can just start talking about something for an extended period of time. And for everyone except the video viewers, they'll not know. They'll be none the wiser. But then you'll also have no idea what I was talking about. So this could be problematic, but this also assumes that you listen to what I'm saying when it's my turn to talk on the podcast.
That's fair. I have been troubleshooting things while you've been doing the housekeeping at the start. Yep. So
no worries. Well, we'll go ahead and make this Travis's video game corner, where we check in on Travis and his journeys through Hyrule in the hit new video game Legends of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. Just a quick update. Yes, obviously, we talked about this game a little bit in our last episode. But after a couple weeks of playing it, and no, just to settle all of the rumors out there, we didn't not podcast last week just because I was playing Tears of the Kingdom. But it may have contributed a little bit.
Yeah, it may have contributed just a little bit. Last week what happened? We went into Monday, and
you got real Muppet vibes going on today, Brandon. I'm just gonna let you know. If you don't watch the video normally, recommend you head out to YouTube or check it out somewhere where it's available.
Yeah, we went in. My hair is fine. We went into Monday, and we thought, what do we want to talk about? Because we had nothing. We had zero zilch.
I had literally been spending the whole week playing Tears of the Kingdom and consuming no other content.
The only thing that we thought about maybe talking about was the death of the Galactic Star Cruiser at Disney.
Yes.
But yes. that wasn't enough to like do the entire episode. So it would have been like, here's 5 minutes. And that's it. Expensive hotels die, right?
Yeah. I mean, assuming they're not luxury hotels, which do very well with a luxury type clientele.
They'll die.
But when it's a 2.5 day immersive themed escape room hotel, yeah, I think you're gonna hit the cap on how many people can participate in that when it's $5,000 a weekend.
Yeah.
We had those
thoughts of like, oh, when we get out of the military and we do retire, it would be like a retirement thing. But no, man, that's too expensive. That's too damn expensive. Yeah.
When you could do like a real cruise, that's
real
for probably less money.
And dress up like Star Wars characters and just interact with everybody on the cruise like you're on a Star Cruise.
We should go on an actual cruise and ask them for like missions and ask them to like help us break into the command center so that we can pilot the ship.
I wonder if those the attendants and stuff on a cruise would be like, this sounds interesting. Something to break up the monotony of another cruise and getting COVID again. Things like that. But anyway,
all jokes aside, I do want to say one thing, and it has to do with the business side of Disney versus the creative side of Disney. The Galactic Star Cruiser was a really cool experiment. It was a really cool attraction that was priced exceptionally high. But for those people that did have an opportunity or have an opportunity in the remaining few months to go participate in that experience, I've heard really outstanding things. For the actors and performers and musicians and chefs and everybody that worked really hard to make that experience special for the people that could afford it, from what I've heard, they didn't know that this was closing until the announcement in that business call. So for them, like, they just found out that they don't get to do this anymore either. And I think that really sucks. Additionally, the Imagineers and the other people that come up with the ideas for how to make this a really cool experience, rumor is they were also working on more projects to extend the story, to create new things and plus it up. And they're not going to get to work on that anymore either. So, yes, this will ultimately result in hundreds of millions of dollars in tax write-offs that Disney can recoup some of the loss for. But generally speaking, this sucks for a lot of people, fans and cast members alike. So, yeah, just and I'll never get to go to it because I can't afford it.
Can't afford it. We're not rich people, which is, you know, exactly the type of people that a Star Wars fan is.
Yeah, but anyways, we're just extremely irresponsible. either way. Anyway, right. Back to my gaming minute.
We were dedicated to that.
Did you reset your internet or did you just get involved in that conversation?
What? No. What? No. I'm just saying.
Okay. Well, anyway, back to my gaming notes real quick. Tears of the Kingdom. I'm 2 weeks in. I just finally finished my wheel of like abilities. This game is so big in terms of like what you can do and all the side quests. I have not unlocked the entire map. I have not even done half of like the initial like dungeons that you can go through. And I'm having a great time. Tears of the Kingdom is phenomenal. There's so much cool stuff in it, and yeah, it's game of the year easily. That's it. Those are my thoughts on Todd K.
That's very, very, very cool, Travis. I'm glad you're playing that game. And what I really like about that game is as many side quests as it has. And you know, you haven't done a lot of the dungeons and stuff yet, but you know, it's a phenomenal game. And
you're playing it. You have a Switch, right? Yeah.
I do. Yeah. No, I was playing Smash Brothers with a kiddo the other day.
My kid's playing Smash all the time, and I'm just I'm not good at it.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's a game I have to take time to invest energy in so that I can get good enough to be decent. But
That's fair. Okay.
All right. Moving on to the main topics for this show. And we spent some time already talking about Disney. We talked about Disney projects and Disney trying to do new things. But let's talk a little bit about a movie that opened this weekend, which is yet another attempt from the Disney company to make money off of millennials' nostalgia. and that is a live action reboot of a classic animated film. This of course was The Little Mermaid, which released this weekend. My family was excited to go out and see this. We went and saw it. I'm pretty sure you guys didn't go and see it, did you?
Wait. You were excited to go see it?
My family, like Sheena was
okay.
Was like, absolutely, we are seeing this movie, we're seeing it in theaters, like, yes.
But were you excited to see it?
As excited as I was to see any other Disney live action remake, which I would say I was more excited to see this than some of the other ones, because some of the other ones I still haven't seen. I thought that from what I saw in trailers, I thought that they were going to do a good job with this one. I did like the Little Mermaid story and the original animated film growing up. So I thought, yeah, this one I would like more than some of the other ones. Stop cap. Sorry, am I making noise with it? Anyway, yeah, so it's I was excited to see it, but not nearly as excited as Sheena or some of my kids.
Well, I have to ask that, right? I have to ask that question because it is one of those things for me. I mean, I like Disney, all right, but I'm not a Disney super fan, right? What does Disney provide to us that I even care about as a fan? You don't even have to answer that question because there's nothing, basically. Not a single thing. Galactic Star Cruiser dead at 3 years old.
Nothing Star Wars, nothing Marvel, nothing that has taken up hours of time on this podcast.
Of course.
Owned or distributed by Disney.
The idea of these live action, and we use the quotes there because yes, they're real actors, but they're still heavy CGI in a lot.
Yeah.
What I would say is, like, especially if they're like straight up remakes, essentially, like, I don't need to see an actor do it if it's basically the same movie, right? If it's a reimagining, if there's some changes or change the plot and theme that like have you look at the content and look at the story in a completely different way, then I'm like, okay, yeah, I can get behind that. But if I'm like, here's what it's like. It's like Weezer's cover of Toto's Africa, where it's like, it's a note for note. It sounds exactly the same. And I'm like, why do I need you? I have the original.
Yeah, I would agree with you by and large. And I would say that the departures from the animated film were some of the things I liked most about the movie. Although there were some scenes where I was like, this is legit. This is cool. And it's cool to see it in a different way. Much in the same way, like you take other classic stories like Romeo and Juliet, Three Musketeers. Some of those stories have been done and redone numerous times with a different flavor, different actors. They're ultimately telling the same story. The issue that I have with some of these Disney remakes is they are taking not the source material typically, like they are taking their source material. So the version of the story that Disney has already popularized through their animated films and playing off of that version of the story, which often also includes the original music from the animated film. Which is, I mean, a lot of the music's great. A lot of the music has stood up for decades, so I can't fault them for that. But I know this was true for the Beauty and the Beast remake, and it's definitely true for the Little Mermaid. There are some new songs, some original songs. I mean, since Lin-Manuel Miranda became popular, he has had his hand in, I think, every Disney film that's come out since Hamilton hit Broadway. So, because I know he was working on Moana while performing as Alexander Hamilton on Broadway. So, and since then, his name is in the credits of almost every Disney movie I've seen. So, there are some new songs from Lin, and ultimately, the movie was good. I think the movie did a good job of retelling the story, and especially for a younger audience that may have missed the animated one for whatever reason, this is a new way for them to experience this story in a new way. I do think the actors did a great job in their performances. Melissa McCarthy was kind of like the standout for me as Ursula. I thought she did a really great job playing that character and was just really funny and interesting to watch. The graphics, the CGI were really good for most of the movie. One okay. thing that's gotten me, and this is not the bald guy being anti-hair, but CGI hair underwater is very difficult. It is very difficult to get right. There are times when I didn't even notice it, which tells me they did a great job with it.
Yeah.
But there were other times when I was like, ugh, that takes me out. that's suspending my disbelief a little bit.
It's the beauty of art sometimes.
To where belief. Yeah, anyway.
Well,
yeah.
No. Not the belief suspending, but the like sound design or you know, like the things that you notice if they're not there, you definitely, if you've noticed that they are there, then they've done a bad job. Like they need to be so kind of subconscious. Like something is there's a verisimilitude for like, this is, I feel like I'm in this real world. But if somebody like messed up the mix and they did like a footstep, like, you know, there's somebody's walked through the hall, and all of a sudden it's like, gunk, gunk. but like the person who's walking hasn't changed their gait at all.
Yeah.
You know, then it's like, whoa. Now I know I'm watching a movie, right? It's things like that.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, I am curious how long Disney is going to keep making these types of films. The problem is, I don't know if this is a problem. Maybe this is great. The movie has opened to like over 100 million in its opening weekend, right? So the movie has been very successful in its opening weekend. It will probably continue to be successful over the coming weeks. And that's us telling Disney, keep going, keep making, keep doing these remakes. And they probably will. I'm just wondering, like, well, they just announced that they are remaking Moana as a live action film with Dwayne Johnson playing Maui, which is he played the Maui character in the animated film. So I think that's like the most recent animated film that they've already said like they're going to do a remake of. Like Moana is still popular as an animated film. Like it's not doing poorly in its original state.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Why don't let's spitball some, throw out a Disney movie that you would like to see a live action remake of. I have mine in my head already. We'll see how close we match up.
Okay. All Disney animated films, fair game. I know which one I'm going with.
Song of the South. Travis picks Song of the South.
I think the West Coast Splash Mountain closes in like 2 days.
Yep.
So finally rid of that theming. Was that really? Were you just setting all of that up for that bit, or do you have an actual answer?
No, I have an actual answer. I was hoping that you would have one, but you also have like a larger encyclopedia library of movies to go through.
I mean, the one that stands out to me as something that would be really cool live action wise would be Big Hero 6. But I think they might. Are they doing that already? They might. They may not be.
I feel like that is something that we had heard, huh?
I don't know. Well, if only we had a way to look things up on the internet.
No, I can't anyway. Use any internet for anything other than podcasting. Otherwise, it's going to crash.
But that again is a relatively recent one that it's not a movie that's like been overlooked a lot. But like really old school ones that I don't know, you could do like Sword in the Stone.
Oh yeah, that could
maybe be cool. That was like a dark time in Disney animation, so they may not be wanting to revisit that. But I don't know. Did you have a thought?
Yeah, Tron.
Okay, good.
No, yeah, that was
maybe a Tron sequel. Maybe we could get a Tron sequel.
Yeah, like a legacy sequel. I think no. The one that I had in my head, Travis, was. Are you here?
I'm listening.
Check this out, Travis. You listening for this one? Lilo and Stitch. Like, I think that would be a fun one to do a live action for.
I thought I heard they're doing that.
Oh, are they? Oh, good. Good. They're finally listening to me, Disney. But I think that one would be fun because that ends up being more of like a Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Oh, hey, Greg is in the Twitch
chat. Lilo and Stitch, live action. It's
with Rock producing.
It's a thing. I think it's a thing that's in development. So yeah.
There we go. That would be a fun one. Anyway,
there you go.
All in all, what would you rate that? What would you rate Little Mermaid the remake?
I'd give it 7.8.
Okay.
Maybe even an 8. Give it an 8. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hey, yeah. All right. That, That's not too bad. You've heard it here first. Travis's rating of eight seashells by the seashore.
Eight crustaceans. No, it's good. I mean, the music was good. The acting was good. CGI was all right. Yeah, it was fun. It's good. Good flick. Go see it with your kids.
Great. Yeah. Speaking of seeing things with your kids, there is a new show out on Max.
Max.
The recently rebranded HBO Max to now just Max.
Can I tell you something about the rebrand real quick?
You want to talk about? Let's talk about this rebrand real quick.
Max has gotten more play in my household over the last week than HBO Max probably did in general because of the addition of all of that Discovery and TLC content. My wife has a brand new platform to watch all the home renovation shows that she wants. I'm telling you, like, say what you will about dropping the HBO and just calling it Max, but it is increasing viewership, at least in this house, because I'm still watching all my same nonsense that I was watching on HBO Max, but now we're doubling it with home renovation shows.
Great. That's great. That's great. Because much like all those home renovation shows, you have people going in there just smashing shit. Kind of like the pilots in World War II used to say, people, you know, these things would land on the wings, make them crash. These little gremlins, you know.
Yeah.
20,000 feet.
What a great transition.
Classic, right? Okay, all right. So on Max is Gremlins: Secrets of the Mogwai, this was a show that I wasn't excited for. Like I wasn't like yeah, woo, Gremlins anime show. That's
you got Gremlins behind you. Gremlins are prominently featured on every episode of Apathetic Enthusiasm.
I love Gremlins. I always bring them out, right? I got my Gremlins novelization books, which I still need to read through. I love you got me. You guys got me a Gremlin lunchbox.
Did, yeah.
And there's a spider Gremlin from Gremlins 2, the new batch, a Neko figurine that is like $170, and I'm like, oh, it's gonna be so badass when I waste so much money on that someday. But anyway, having said that, though, this animated series that is on Max, yep. I wasn't like, oh, this is something I need to see. Like, I'm interested in modern Gremlin stuff. I didn't care about the origin story of Gizmo necessarily.
Sure.
Having said that, coming out of last week where we didn't have anything to talk about on the podcast, like, you know what? I see that it started. Some people said some good things about it. Let's go ahead and give it a shot. And so there's two episodes out as of today. There may be a third one out by the time this airs, but I watched the two episodes. I asked you to watch the two episodes. Yeah. And we're having a little discussion about some Gremlins: Secrets of the Mogwai.
Little children's animation content for you. Which I think the first thing I would ask you, having watched this, is who do you think the target audience for this show is?
I don't know. I legitimately don't know. I'll start by saying the animation is really good.
Sure.
Like there's something, the way it's animated, got to give credit to all the new animated shows and movies that have been coming out that have like allowed creative folks to design unique art styles. Right. And have those in shows. But so there's that, there are like there's some dark stuff that happens in the two episodes. There's more magic than I thought there was going to be in the series. And like one of the scenes with a dark magician was legitimately creepy.
Yeah, definitely.
And that I like, okay, who is this for? Because it starts off feeling like it's more for kids, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like the animation itself seems like something you would see on like a young children's animation block, like just the character styles, the designs of the characters,
like Kung Fu Panda. It felt Kung Fu Panda-ish.
Sure. Yeah. Like initially I thought 10 and under, maybe like some tweens, but for the most part, my initial thought was this is going to be for little kids. And then halfway through that second episode, I was like, I'm not sure I'd let my teenagers watch this. Probably. Yeah, no, they'd be fine. I don't know that my 11-year-old would love it.
My 11-year-old saw that part that I referenced a few minutes ago. I was like, I don't like that. So not knowing who it's targeted to, the story so far is it takes place in the 1920s, and it's again the origin story of Gizmo and I guess how he ends up in the stead of the man we see at the beginning of Gremlins, the first Gremlins and the beginning of the second Gremlins.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So it's very, very steeped in this kind of mysticism, this magic, a bunch of different mogwais. That's where Gizmo comes from. He ends up in out of his like little forest, enchanted forest area, in the hands of a young boy and his family. So the first episode is very, very Gizmo centric, and the little boy's centric. It's not until the end of that episode that we see any gremlin action. And you said to me in the chat, like, for a gremlin show, where are the gremlins?
Yeah, well, I was watching the first episode, and these are only about like 24 minutes a piece. That first episode, I got two-thirds of the way through it, and I was like, yeah, for a show about gremlins, it needs more gremlins. And you gave me a hard time, and you're like, have you never seen a gremlins movie? Don't you know how this all works? And, you know, I said something about my masculinity or something. It was weird. And I understand, like, the original Gremlins movie, you don't see the gremlins until much later. They introduce you to Gizmo and the other main characters of the movie, and then all of the rules that we all know and love about gremlins. And then eventually we break all of those rules because we let, you know, one of those Corey kids over.
Yeah,
and
that's
and
right.
he breaks them all, and then
so you know how it works. We don't see the furry gremlins until the end of the first episode. In both of the Gremlins movies, that we spend more time with them as furry gremlins. It takes a little while to get started, to get Gizmo with some water on him, And then eventually, then we have all these little furry gremlins, the furry Mogwai, the little assholes, right?
Yeah.
And then maybe about like 20 minutes, there's a little bit of time with them just as those little rambunctious hoodlums. And then eventually there's a
and
little
then it's feeding time.
Then they get into the egg shape and they become gremlins. If I have one critique, I'm sure I have more, but if I have one critique, Travis, it's that I wish they would have spent more than that one episode in furry gremlin rambunctious mode. It felt like they zoomed past it.
I think they stay furry gremlins throughout the first one, and they don't eat after midnight until the second episode. And then they cocoon up, and then you see the first hatched cocoon, like right at the end of episode two, if I remember correctly. So I mean, yeah. It's still not far off from what you're saying. It feels pretty early, if you consider that this is a 10 episode season for the first season. I don't know how many seasons are going to get picked up of this series, but yeah, like within the first 20%. We're already looking at having gremlins in, and here's the thing.
Okay.
You have the dark magic guy, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The sorcerer or whatever. The evil gremlins are in his company at the end of the second episode. Are we going to assume that he somehow is able to control or manipulate these to do his bidding? Because if that's the case, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to stick with this concept. Because we've had a couple of blockbuster films. I really don't know how well either of those films did in the box office in their day. But we have two classic films where gremlins are just uncontrollable. Like they're like anarchy and mischief are in their DNA. They don't take orders from nobody.
That's true. But you know, I think at its core, if we go back to Brain Gremlin, you know, they call them uncivilized, right? But they're just looking for a place. They're looking for a place to call their own. And so he has to speak for them. I think the gremlins, they want what all of us want, right? They want a life. They want to raise a family. And if this dark wizard is able to provide that to them, like maybe using his mind powers, he's able to communicate to them in a way that traditional English or Mandarin doesn't reach out to them, right? Doesn't connect with them. And
that's really
and
good
so
point.
I think that's what we're gonna see throughout the course of the series. Maybe, but you know, oh, by the way, this is kind of going back on a serious note. I was interested. There's a little scene where the furry gremlin versions are in a trunk. And they're like trying to go crazy. They're like trying to get out. And then Gizmo sings a song, and then they calm down. I hadn't seen that in any movie by my recollection. And I thought that was interesting. Like, oh, there's actually a kind of weird. Is there a purpose to that song? Like a functional purpose to soothe the savage gremlin beast?
I feel like this is just the first of many attempts to retcon the gremlins lore through this animated show. I'm gonna put on my best neck beard for this and start really punching holes in the gremlins lore.
Well, here's what I want to talk to you about, Travis. Two episodes out of 10, each of the episodes is titled don't get them wet, don't feed them after midnight. And, you know, watching it with my kid, he's like, so what if he crosses time zones? And it was like, it's based off of local time, right? Like,
all gremlin experts know it's based on local time.
And what
it's
I mean,
based
what
on the sun's position relative to the earth.
It's science.
Relative to the meal.
Right. Right. It's science. Everybody knows that. Anyway, two episodes. I'm wondering if they take some of the plot throughout the rest of the series and like tell us some other secrets of the Mogwai and answer some of these hard-hitting questions instead of like having, you know, couch experts like Brandon Cruz, Dr. Brandon Cruz, who did his thesis on gremlinology. Instead of like having me answer the question, if the writers of Gremlins, The Secrets of the Mogwai, answer these questions for us. Now, 1920s, we didn't have airplanes, right? Maybe they won't be able to answer that, but maybe they'll have like a similar thing, like, oh, I'm going really fast down a river. I don't know.
Sure. Maybe. Maybe that's the case. I do want to ask couch expert PhD in gremlinology, Brandon Cruz. Did Gizmo have the name Gizmo before the start of the first Gremlins movie, or was he named Gizmo by the characters in that film?
No, he had the name Gizmo beforehand. And so that's one of the secrets of the Mogwai that you find out in this series, is that he has a name that sounds a lot like Gizmo. And eventually he tries to explain it to the little boy. And then he's like, yeah, it's good. Gizmo's good.
Yeah, it's close enough.
And there we go.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else you want to say about this Gremlins cartoon?
Yeah. The last thing I'll say is there's all the voice actors, very, very heavy Asian. So like a lot of representation there, which is sure. Cool. Zach Galligan, who was in the original Gremlin movies, is credited as being on the show, but we haven't seen him yet. So I'm wondering when he actually comes into play.
Oh, interesting.
I can keep that in mind. But that's all I want to say about Gremlins, Secret of the Mogwai. I like it all right. I mean, I'll keep watching it because I want to know the secrets.
Gotta know them secrets.
You gotta, in order to keep my PhD, keep tenure.
there it is. Yeah. CLA. Gotta. You got to get those, SEUs for your Gremlin certifications.
Yeah, continuing Gremlin education.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, yeah. If you have kids that like Gremlins, check out Secrets of the Mogwai. It's on Max. How was your transition to Max from HBO Max? Was it seamless? Did it feel jarring? Did you have to download a new app?
I did have to download a new app. It wasn't as jarring as I thought it was going to be, to be honest with you. I thought it was fairly, fairly smooth. I opened up the HBO Max and it said, we're Max now. Download this other app. I'm like, oh, damn it. I'm going to have to download it.
There it is, folks. That's where he froze on our stream. So... He's not gonna like that I'm talking over him because he's probably talking, and it's gonna be a challenge for him in this portion of the editing. But
I put a little marker.
He's got a marker. This is
right where I messed up. Okay,
but for the video viewers, no edits. You get the raw. You get the raw, baby.
Well, I don't know what I said necessarily, but it was seamless. I opened up the app. I downloaded the app. I thought I was gonna have to put in credentials. I didn't have to put in credentials. Once I opened up Max, it just went straight to the accounts. I'm like, oh, cool. So it was pretty easy. How about you? Was it difficult?
It hasn't been difficult. The issue has been I've had to do it like five times because I had to, in my oldest's room, she wanted to watch a movie that was on HBO Max. So I had to like fix it on her like Fire Stick.
Okay.
And then both of my Apple TVs, I had to fix it and download the new app and re-sign in. And then on my phone, thankfully, when I watch on my computer while I'm painting miniatures, that was pretty seamless. I was just able to log right in. So it's been seamless the whole time. I've just had to do it numerous times.
Yeah. The last thing I want to say about Max is just a little bit of controversy out there. If you open up any of the movies or shows, normally you go in there and you'd be like, directed by, written by, starring, et cetera, et cetera. Well, now there's just a block of created by, like, creators, and it has everybody in there listed. It doesn't say directed by, written by, et cetera. It just has their names, which is a big what to do, right? Because we're in the middle of a WGA strike.
Yeah.
Where everybody wants their credit and they want to get paid for it. And now Max is like, just put them all in there. Put them in a blurb for creative.
Just lump them all in a paragraph. It's fine.
So some shit to be given to them now. And so they said they're going to fix it, but it's going to take a couple months to fix all of them.
These things take time. I'm not going to argue with that. Yeah. I am very curious. I was actually kind of afraid that I was going to lose access to Max altogether because my HBO Max subscription was tied to my internet service. I have AT&T fiber internet, which is why my internet's been great all night. sorry, Brandon. but along with that, I also got my HBO Max subscription included in the service. And so I was like, here comes the loophole. I'm going to lose my subscription or something because I had HBO Max included, but not Max. And they'll probably just not include it anymore. Well, it works fine. Nothing has changed. And I haven't seen any ads or anything like that. So I think Max has a crazy new pricing tier where you have to like spend a lot of money to get like no ads and stuff, but I haven't seen that yet. So if you're an AT&T executive and you're listening to this,
Everything's
fine. Everything's fine. Don't worry about anything.
Don't worry about it. Well, that's all we've got about Little Mermaid, Gremlins, Max.
Now it's Brandon Cruz's grab bag of topics.
All right, let's start with the first one. I watched John Wick 4. John Wick 4, it was good. It was long. It was like 3 hours.
Is it under the table or over the table?
What?
I don't know. I finally watched all three John Wicks, and then the fourth one came out. But like, by the end of the third one, they're like, oh, does this take place under the high table or blah blah blah? And it's getting real convoluted.
Oh. Yeah, no, it's still convoluted. But you don't watch it for plot. You watch it to do really badass stuff.
You watch it to see John Wick punch someone and then grab their arm and flip them over his shoulder and onto the ground, because that is a move that John Wick does numerous times in every John Wick movie.
But this one, you get to watch him do it with nunchucks.
Hey.
So it was good. It was long. We had to take a break because it was so long. We weren't expecting it to be so long. There's a cool part. You want to talk about the length aspect?
No, I want to know where you watched it, because
we bought it and we watched it at home.
Fair enough.
There's a part that I liked, and I hadn't seen too many people mention this, but there's the movie The Warriors, which we talked about a long time ago on this show.
Warriors.
And as you know, in The Warriors, there's a DJ, there's a disc jockey who's like, hey, all you boppers, go get the Warriors, right? And like, she sends all the gangs after the Warriors, and then plays Nowhere to Hide From Your Baby, or something like that, whatever the song. They do an homage to that in John Wick 4, like a very on the nose, like it's clearly influenced by that.
which I thought was cool, and I didn't see anybody mention that. Anyways, that's one topic. Go watch John Wick 4 if you like that stuff. Topic 2, push-ups conclusion. We started this at the beginning of the month, and now we're coming down to the wire. We just needed to do 3,000 push-ups by the end of May, and by goodness gracious, we're almost there.
How are your triceps doing?
Well, that's the thing is I use my titties, right?
That's one thing I've noticed this month is like, based on where you put your hands, push-ups can be very different.
Yeah. I haven't messed, honestly, I don't do my triceps that much because that puts a lot of strain on my shoulder. Hmm. And it should put more strain on my triceps, but because my triceps are so weak, like it ends up putting a lot more strain on my shoulder and then it hurts. And so I haven't done as much of those, but I do, try to like switch them up every once in a while.
All right. How do you feel? Do you feel like this was more difficult to do, to get 3,000 pushups in a month, as difficult as you were expecting or easier than you thought?
The difficult thing is just maintaining a rhythm to fit these push-ups in.
Yeah. Like,
you want to say, and I say you, like the universal, you want to say, okay, every hour, just do 10. Just do 10. And then what happens is then you miss an hour. You're like, okay, well, next hour I'll do 20. And then you miss that one. You're like, well, crap. And then like in the middle of the second hour, like at the 2 hour, 45 minute mark, you're like, oh, well, I have time now. Let's go ahead and pump out a bunch. And so it's hard to maintain that consistency. And then especially when it's like every single day, you're like, where do I fit these things in? But then also if you haven't done pushups for a long time, like building up to that and then having to take breaks and then being like, oh shit, I only did 25 today. Which means I have to compensate for those later down the road. Where am I going to do that? Am I going to have enough time? I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like I was able to pretty consistently maintain close to a 100 per day average with some additional banking those additional push-ups early in the month so that a couple of days where I either forgot to do them all or the one day when I intentionally took the whole day off and didn't do any push-ups, I was like, okay, I'm covered to where I don't have to like have a dramatic 200 push-up day or something like that. But yeah, I think like where I'm at for the last like week of this challenge, it's really been 4 sets of 25. Feels like something that's not 25 push-ups isn't going to take a significant dent out of whatever you're doing, so long as you're in a place where you can adequately like and appropriately go down and do push-ups. I've found myself throughout this month being in like public places and being like, oh man, I could probably knock out some push-ups right now, but I don't want people to look at me because this is not an appropriate place to be doing push-ups.
Yeah,
I'll just wait till later.
Yeah, well, the thing about doing push-ups in front of anybody, and I talked about this probably, is you just know that there's going to be somebody who's like, hey, you're not going down far enough. Break that
That's
plank.
Not a real push-up. That's right? That's a fake push-up.
When I worked out at Tampa, we did push-ups all the time. Like I had a whiteboard and we had like so many names on there. People would stop by and do push-ups with us. And if you were doing push-ups, inevitably there was somebody who was like, hey, Brandon, hey, that's not one, 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 one. We're just repeating the number as you're doing them. You're like, get out of here. The fact is that I'm trying to do something. That's the important
thing. Yeah.
Get out of here, you knucklehead. Anyway, we're almost done with the push-ups.
Yeah. And there were definitely a few times where I would be going to bed at like 10:30, 11 o'clock, and then I'd be like, oh shoot, I've only done 50 push-ups today. And so then like I'm like getting ready for bed and like Sheena's like heading to bed and I'm like, no, I go to bed as soon as I get 30 more push-ups. Didn't you just do a bunch of push-ups? Yep, just got 30 more. And so I just like sit there in bed and then like jump up randomly, knock out some push-ups, and then like, okay, now I can go to sleep.
That's no, it's very, very, very true and accurate. The other night, I Chelsea was already asleep. I went into bed. I got into bed and I was like, oh shit, I need to do 40 more push-ups. I'm like, now I'll just have to make up for them later. But then for some reason, the dog started barking outside and she wouldn't stop barking. Like, okay, I got it.
Do those push-ups. Push.
I was like, ugh, here we go. Sucks. And then like getting into bed, like,
just like, yeah, that's the worst when you're like heart rate's all up and stuff because you're just doing a bunch of push-ups. Anyway, cool. Only two more days and then we'll have to come up with, well, and then next month, is that your, that's your half marathon, right?
It sure is.
So what a midlife crisis to have all this fitness.
We'll talk about that more in the upcoming weeks. Now I mentioned going to sleep, right? I sleep on the couch sometimes. Sometimes I like falling asleep to a movie, which is where this next topic comes in, which is I like put on Shudder, I put on a horror movie. I just fall asleep. Maybe RoboCop, maybe Gremlins. I fell asleep to Gremlins 2 the other day. And I'm like, oh, The Exorcist is on Max. Okay, yeah, let's go ahead and put that on. And I woke up midway through the movie and just that there's a very subtle like hum, a low rumbling hum in the soundtrack of that movie. And Friedkin does a really good job directing it. It's still in the movies that scares me, which, so when you wake up in the middle of the night and it's a scene where Ellen Burstyn comes in, she, Reagan is the daughter. Ellen Burstyn plays the mother. She comes home at night and the lights are dim already in the house. And then periodically like the lights flicker. And as the lights flicker, there's a demonic face that is very like kind of, there's low opacity, but it's there in the darkness and it's creepy as shit. I wake up at this point in time and I'm like, no, not happening. So I changed the movie to something, I don't know, something super lighthearted, maybe Dumb and Dumber.
There you go.
Anyways, Exorcist, great movie still. I think some kids don't think it's scary anymore, but I don't know. I think maybe I like it because I'm not religious either. So there's something where it's like, it's there. I don't know. There's some magic here still, the unknown, but, okay. Cool. That was third grab bag topic. Last grab bag topic, really to build the envelope of this podcast. We started talking about video games with The Legend of Zelda. We're going to end with video games. I wanted to play something this weekend. I wanted to do something. And I'm like, okay. So I sit on Xbox, flip through everything. I'm like, I don't want to play that. I don't want to play that. I want to play that. By the way, I kicked Matt's ass at Madden. Woo!
Obviously.
By the way, I found this game called The Planet of Lana. It's on Xbox Game Pass. And I don't know if you've ever played Limbo, but it's a side-scrolling kind of platforming slash puzzle game that isn't built on action. It's all the enemies are overpowered. You want to avoid the enemies.
Okay.
And you're experiencing the story. It's a very narrative driven type experience with some puzzle aspects and no dialogue. It's all the story is coming from the things you find, the background, the environments, all that good stuff. So I Planet of Lana, played that, very good game, beat it in a day or so. And then after I was done with that, I'm like, I want to play another game like that, where it's relaxing. I don't have to think too hard. I could just experience a story, right? But interactively. And so I picked up this other game called Bramble. That one I actually purchased, but it was like 5 stars reviewed. And that is another, although that one's not a side-scrolling game, that's third person. It is also a very fun experience, and I beat that one today.
Awesome.
And both of those stories are, they're European, maybe like Swedish or Finnish. But like the sensibilities from the studios over there, very, very cool for stories, because like I'm used to American stories and like, I don't know, it's going into their lore and their, you know, like trolls and like mountain kings and this very fantasy type stuff, which is very, very cool. Anyway, I recommend that. And that's my minute.
That's your minute. That's your minute. I'm just going to keep playing Tears of the Kingdom because I still have so much to do. So much.
I almost bought Star Wars and I'm like, no, something simple like Bramble or Planet of Lana.
Top K, man. I can't, as much as I was like, I'm going to wait on that game, I'm so glad I have it already because, it is just really enjoyable to play. And it's one of those things where you're like, I want to progress the main story. Okay, I'll play that for a little while. And then you find some random person and they're like, oh, I've got a side quest for you. And you're like, that seems kind of interesting. And then you realize you can't figure out what they're asking for. And you're like, I'm not going to do this anymore. And then you go do something else, or you go farm some resources, or there's like three different levels because there's sky islands, there's depths, there's so much to explore. It's wild. And it's crazy that that's running on a Switch, because it is not a next gen console at all. So, fun times. Tears of the Kingdom. Still recommend it.
Didn't
change my mind from the beginning of the episode.
I do want to check it out, and I will check it out eventually. Still waiting for a Jeremiah to send it to me. Last thing, I roasted some marshmallows. I also went mini golfing. Went to the local fair. did that as well. I probably did a thing.
Let's talk about fairs and the Chuck content. Wagon Festival. We'll talk about that in a little bit of post show. So if you want to be part of that post show, hang out on Twitch Monday nights, or you can go to patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm, where you can get recorded versions of our post show posted there every week that we have a post show. Oh, and Matt's here, so Matt can hang out for the post show. This will be wonderful. thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks for hanging out. If you are new to this show, please subscribe, write a review if you're new. We'd love to hear what you think about the show. If you're watching on YouTube, you can like, subscribe, do the bell notification, all that fun stuff. Leave a comment. Thanks for listening. And until next time, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon. Thank you so much, everybody. Appreciate you.
Bye.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save.